Welcome back, Chef. Have you ever felt trapped in a job because of health insurance? Have you ever stayed in a position longer than you wanted simply because you needed the benefits? If that sounds familiar, today's episode is for you. The culinary world is full of passion and creativity, but when it comes to healthcare, many chefs, gig workers, and small business owners find themselves underserved and overwhelmed by confusing options. What if there was a better way? A way that actually worked for you? Well, my guest today is Melissa Blatt, founder of IndiePop, a marketplace designed specifically for independent workers and small business owners seeking better, more affordable healthcare solutions. If you've ever felt stuck, frustrated, or confused about your healthcare choices, Melissa is here to help break it down. Stick around. We're diving into alternative healthcare solutions, cost-saving options, and how you can take back control of your coverage and career. You don't want to miss this one. We'll get into it right after this. Welcome to Chef Life Radio, the podcast dedicated to helping chefs and culinary leaders take control of their kitchens, build resilient teams, and create a thriving career in hospitality. I'm Chef Adam Lamb, your host, leadership coach, and industry veteran. If you're tired of high turnover, burnout, and the daily grind, you're not alone. This podcast is here to give you the real strategies, insights, and tools you need to lead with confidence, build a culture of excellence, and craft a kitchen that works for you, not against you. Because the best kitchens don't just survive, they thrive. Hit that subscribe button and let's get started. And so I'm really thrilled to bring onto the show insurance specialist and all-around avant-garde artist, Melissa Blatt. Hey, Mel.
Good morning or afternoon, wherever you are.
Exactly. And this is a very interesting question or topic of conversation for me because I know in my career, I have felt trapped in a current place of employment because my insurance was tied to my employer. And I know that I think we're one of the only industrialized nations that still does that. And so I was really excited to learn about you and what you've been doing in regards to serving this particular community. But first, before we get into IndiePop and its specificities, I was curious to know if you could just give us a broad brush of your career and whatever got you into insurance, because I don't think it was your primary career, right?
I didn't. When I was little, I never answered, oh, I want to be in healthcare when I grow up, but not as a doctor or I feel like it chose me that it was a challenge that I faced and I couldn't let it go. But yeah, I've had a career in business development and marketing and started on the East Coast, and now I live in the great state of Arizona, but I've lived in LA, and I've done a wide variety of things in a bunch of different cities. But I think I'm most passionate about what I'm doing now because it really is impacting people's lives. And for someone to say, I can leave my 9-to-5 and you go out on my own is very empowering. And you're right. The United States has it where people stay at particular jobs for benefits. And some of the benefits are not that great.
Right.
And you're still paying out of pocket, or you're still very limited and restricted in how you approach healthcare.
And so you had, I think, a career in the arts for a long time, motion picture TV and stuff like that. Yeah. And I don't know how people are employed in that particular market segment, but I would imagine that you had a good career, you had great pay, you had good benefits, and then what happened? There is certainly something that had to happen to you to where you're like, oh my God, that there's an underserved market here.
So I left LA and I left the entertainment business about 15 years ago, and I ended up in the tech world, which is really exciting. And then I went out on my own to do biz dev for lots of different employers. So I was classified as a 1099 contractor, which right. That word 1099 is, I think a lot of people out there can resonate that you might be hired, especially all the shift workers out there that have the side gig. That's your 1099. And that's when I had my wake up call that I was excited to go into healthcare.gov and see, because I kept seeing all these great ads for affordable healthcare. And I didn't really know what to expect, but I thought my expectations were actually pretty high. And I had sticker shock when I realized what I was presented with, which was, if you're familiar with those metal plans out there, the bronze, the silver, gold, and platinum, it was in my price range, a bronze HMO. So an HMO means I have to get a referral every time I want to see a specialist, like a dermatologist. And it's hoops. It's more hoops. So that's why you'll see a PPO is probably more expensive than your HMO. But what really got me was the $9,000 deductible. So that would mean that if I broke my leg, that's what I would be responsible for. And it goes by your earnings, your age, your employment status, and your location. And it's underwritten by an insurance company, which is a for-profit business.
Correct.
So anyway, that is when I had the wake-up call. Wait a second. This is not going to work for me. I don't want a $9,000 deductible. I don't want to change doctors. I don't want to have to call my doctor every time I want to see a different doctor. So I just started exploring what was out there in the market. And we're so used to the word just insurance that when I found that there was something, another model that it didn't have the word insurance, but it was still healthcare, I was really skeptical at first because I'm like, what is this? Why isn't this taking over? Why? But it's that whole idea of cost sharing is newer. And it has a really different approach to managing medical needs. And that's where you become a member of a large group or community that shares the cost of medical needs, and it's a managed nonprofit. So it's completely different. The funds are there to be shared amongst the people in the community and based on fair market rates. So I know I just talked a lot. Do you want to enter?
Yeah.
What's bubbling in your mind right now?
I think the differentiation and the reason this is so prevalent to me is I just went through my yearly sign up or re-sign up for healthcare.gov. I've been on the marketplace for several years and have watched how the costs have gone up. And very rarely do people really talk about, it's just not your monthly premium. And I qualify for a certain amount of help from the government. There's the premium that you pay, and they have all these other words that are sewn in there, like co-insurance and co-pay. And so technically speaking, it's just not, when you're looking at, say, anywhere, clearly, you know, the lower your deductible, the higher your plan. So if it's a $5,000 deductible, those plans are typically in $400-$500 ranges. And as the deductible gets higher, the price comes down because they know that they're going to have to pay out less over a course of a year based upon your kind of contribution to that particular plan. So the thing that first jumped out at me was, and did you want to make a comment about that?
No, you're absolutely right. But even the difference between a premium and a deductible is very good.
The one that always gets me is co-insurance. Aren't I already paying for insurance? And so there's all kinds of caveats depending on the particular procedures and whether it's, as you said, whether it's in-network or out-network. But the thing that jumped out at me was this idea that healthcare is for-profit. And health share is nonprofit. So can you just dive into that a little bit? Because I'm pretty sure that a lot of folks are like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Insurance is the transfer of risk. That's the definition. And there's underwriting involved. So obviously in the state of New York, you're going to have different numbers than in Des Moines, Iowa, because your population is different. And they have to go by the zip codes and the age of the population. And it has to be underwritten to determine the rates. But the only way I think, or what I've learned to make money, is they either raise rates or they deny claims, which that is the worst thing to think about, is you get insurance to be in place for when something bad happens. And if it's not there for you, then what are you paying for? But the reality is that most of what the people that we talked to in the last 5 years is, it's now insurance has become sick care, where it's just there for you really if you break your leg or you're hospitalized. But more and more people want to be proactive in their health. They want things like IV therapy or the red light therapy. Red light therapy has really been something that people have sought that says it's really helpful. Physical therapy, more than just a few sessions. It's very odd that somebody could have an insurance package that allows for them to have in-home nursing and physical therapy for a minor condition or a yes, like a minor condition, but somebody that maybe has like a major condition, they only will allow two nurse visits and like two sessions of PT, something. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. But yes, we want well care. And a lot of the preventive services that you see that are ACA compliant. So what is ACA? Affordable Care Act. And they said, we're going to give you all of these things, like the screenings, age-appropriate screenings, mammograms at 40, colonoscopies at 45, immunizations. But if you talk to your doctor in that annual wellness exam about something outside of the scope, it could be coded as diagnostic, and then you're responsible for it. And it makes you second guess what you want to talk to your physician about, especially if you're on a very tight budget. You shouldn't really have to be thinking about these things when you are there to really dig deep into how are you, so that we can detect things early enough so that it doesn't become a chronic condition.
Correct.
So
Western, go, please
it's just,
finish.
It's very messed up. Yeah. So with health sharing or cost sharing, or what we call it is membership, because that's really what you're becoming, a member of a community. And in your membership, what are your benefits? That's what you get, is your healthcare benefits. That's what you get. But they're based off of fair medical pricing. So there really is a price for everything. Doctor's visits, biopsies, gallbladder removals, in your zip code, a fair rate, reference-based pricing of what it should cost. And when people actually know the figures out there, that some surgeries are really $6,000, you might think, wait, if I pay cash for this, it is a lot less than my deductible. So a lot of people in this last year, this has really increased. We're hearing more and more people, one, they're switching to direct primary care doctors, which are doctors that do not take insurance. Usually they only take a membership so that you have access to them. And we're also seeing people that are paying cash for a lot of medical things out of pocket, just paying cash.
Yep. But I guess that's where HSAs come into play.
That's why that has
health savings account.
Really soared is health savings account. That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. And from what I understand, HSAs are like a triple threat insofar as not only do you get to pay your costs, but there's tax savings, and it also increases in value over time. But I also get that if you have a certain plan, healthcare plan, you're not eligible for an HSA, which is weird.
You can set up an HSA. You can have one through a bank and set up a health savings account. But the IRS, in order for you to claim pre-tax for your taxes, it should be compatible with an insurance plan or a health share that is, it's called HSA compatible, which usually has a high deductible, and you're going to be responsible for your preventive care before you reach your deductible. So there's a lot of out-of-pocket. That's why the government is saying, we're going to give you this tax break on it, because you're paying a lot self-pay rates until you reach your deductibles.
And I don't, if people are tuning in because you think this is going to be a bashing about our current healthcare system, that's not what we want to do. What we want to do is provide alternatives, because a lot of people don't know that they have an alternative. Now, before we get into that, I wanted to round back to fair medical pricing, because you mentioned that phrase and that perked up my ears. Who determines what a fair medical pricing is? And how is that?
It's a blue book. That's a good question. I think if you go to your zip code and you look up the average cash pay rate for an MRI, you're going to see a rate. And many people are blown away if they need to get an MRI, because a lot of their insurance plans might say they have an $850 copay to pay for their MRI, even though they have insurance. But if they go straight to the imaging center, it could be $300.
That's exactly correct. Yep.
And this is where we just try to educate people that as consumers, we shouldn't have to be experts in all the language that are in our policies, but it's become that way. Like you mentioned at the beginning, coinsurance is a percentage you are going to split with the insurance company. Mm-hmm. And this could be on top of your deductible, so that you think you reach your deductible, but you still have this particular coinsurance carried with you until maybe what is called your max out of pocket.
Correct.
Your max that you would spend in a calendar year. And that's where I caution people that if you see a $1,500 deductible, great, okay, looks good. Just keep reading to see if you had to have hospitalization or a surgery if you have coinsurance.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that really inspired me initially about our conversation is that you've really set yourself up as a resource for information. Like you've set us up with the very own Chef Life Radio page, which we'll give that address out where you can go and get a lot of information about this. And it's endemic in the hospitality industry that people are either underinsured or they're not insured at all. Young people, I was a young buck once and thought I would never need insurance. So maybe those first couple of years I went without. And that really is a risky thing because most of the injuries that are occurring in the hospitality industry are repetitive motion, where you've been on your feet for 10, 12 years, you've been pivoting on your hips. I just talked to a friend of mine who just went through a full hip replacement. And typically that doesn't happen until a little bit later. Yet I have two adult daughters who I've been constantly hounding for the last 3-4 years that they need to make sure that they have health insurance, because typically women's health is a little bit more complex than men's health. And not to say that one is better or less than, but they didn't have any option. Like they couldn't afford the marketplace, and they've created their own economy. They're gig workers and do a lot of different stuff, and not necessarily one company enough to sign up for their health plan. But it worries me. My one daughter has implants, breast implants, and she started complaining that one was hurting. And what do you do with that? It's scary to be without insurance for any length of time. And I think part of kind of the indoctrination of some companies is like, hey, you got great benefits here.
Oh, I for sure. That has been at Top Talent. To keep and retain top talent is offer benefits, really good benefits. So let's break down first. I don't think we've ever gone over the name IndyPOP.
Yeah.
So that stands for independent population. Those are all of us that are on our own trying to obtain and afford quality healthcare as a 1099 LLC, small business owner. And what IndyPOP is, it's a marketplace that we handpicked specific health shares to go into this marketplace. So if you think of it as you have healthcare.gov as a marketplace for insurance through your state, you could go to IndyPOP. We work in all 50 states and we have open enrollment all year long. So it's very flexible for people on your timeline. The difference is that with these plans, what we hear mostly from people is, especially like what you just said, and especially men or young men in their 20s, they think they're invincible. They do, because you really haven't been touched by life. And if you're working out and you take your vitamins and everything and you're healthy, you never think something, if you got sick, you could get right over it. But I always ask them, because young males are one of the top surgeries for young males that are unexpected, is your appendix. So I said, you still have your appendix? And they said, yeah. And I go, have you talked to it lately? Is it doing okay? And they laugh at me, but it's true. You have no idea if your appendix is going to give you trouble. And it's still one of the top surgeries that happen that out of the blue, you can be completely healthy. Look up what an appendix removal is in your area at a hospital if you paid cash. Just take a peek. Now, we had somebody on one of our IndyPOP plans, and we have multiple plans that people can choose from. And they're all different because it's not a one-size-fits-all type of blanket of a healthcare system. Not everybody wants mental health included or prescription, or these are standard things that should be, but we have plans that have additional benefits. And then we have the basic, so that just protects you from that big appendicitis or something like that. But he's a young guy, mid-20s, and completely healthy. His girlfriend called me out of the blue 2 months ago. Hey, in the hospital. Is he okay? He spent 2 days in the hospital with an extreme infection that he couldn't kick. And he's on a plan that is at $1,000 out of pocket for the entire medical need. Very transparent, very set. That's much different than if you have ever had a medical emergency or a surgery with insurance. I think you're still getting bills like over a year later.
Sure.
You're like, yeah. The staggering figure of only 12% of Americans know how to read their medical bill, and really the odds that it's going to be wrong the first time. So we've been told, throw away your first medical bill. It's not right. really, if I could just provide some value, even more value here, is that if you do, if you are faced with that you have a high deductible, you had to go to the ER for a migraine or a sprained ankle, please appeal if they're making you pay your deductible, your full deductible. Try to appeal it, because you can appeal. You can say no. So yeah, there are, one, people don't really know that they can appeal. Two, really look at your medical bill and question, is it coded right? Did I really see these doctors? Did they come in? Were they in my network? Am I being charged for that? Different. You have the right to do that. And you have the right. Most hospitals have no surprise bill act. So you shouldn't have these obscene, crazy bills.
I think the one thing that a lot of people overlook when they're thinking about insurance, they'll opt in for health insurance, but they won't opt in for dental care. And there's more and more evidence out there that the mouth is the gateway to your microbiome. Anything happens in there, there's all kinds of blood infections that can happen with broken teeth and bad implants. And that's something that pops up eating blueberries and nuts, and all of a sudden you crack a tooth and you think, oh, that's okay. But the longer that goes unresolved, increases your risk of heart disease and all. It's staggering.
Because we never talked about this before, but I just reading about this, it's really crazy that you're bringing it up, because they're linking some of infections that they see in mouths, or I don't want to give root canals a bad name, but they're doing more studies about this that show it's to Parkinson's and muscular and neurological.
Absolutely.
So I'm doing more research on this myself. But yes, the mouth is a great telltale sign, your tongue, what's going on in your body, and dental, oral hygiene is, yes, it's a big one. And we do have a dental and vision program that is also not with insurance, but a membership, and it doesn't break the bank. It starts at $8.95 a month. Can't go wrong with that. And it works in 48 states.
I wanted to just quickly mention my brief experience with health shares. I was working with a company and they decided to offer health shares as a kind of an alternative to their basic health insurance package. And when I started doing some investigation about it, it seemed to me that the organization was faith-based. Mm-hmm. And so they had some very clear do's and don'ts about the fact, like, listen, you can be part of our group. You can't be smoking. You can't be drinking. And to be honest, I thought at that exposure, that's all health shares were, and probably something that I couldn't access because, of course, I don't want to have my claim denied somewhere down the road because I smoked 10 years ago or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But you told me that's not necessarily the case with all health shares.
Yes. And in fact, we don't have any faith-based health shares in our marketplace at all. A faith-based health share is, yes, it's out there. Usually you have to declare your religion, and they have guidelines. They have a statement of faith. And if you abide by that statement of faith, yeah, then, you know, they should pay your claims. If you don't, then they can oppose or deny. But yes, this was a big factor. Again, we vetted all of our plans to be no annual or lifetime caps, no statement of faith. They work in mostly all 50 states across the United States. So we looked for things that I myself could enroll in. And so we have a very specific partnerships with companies that adhere and continuously do the right thing. They're out there. We're not poo-pooing insurance. I'm not going to poo other health shares either. We just chose at this time that the statement of faith was a little too gray for us. So.
And I think to your point, not to draw aspersions or anything like that, but to be well-informed, I think is probably one of the best things. And again, we really want to thank you for setting up our Chef Life Radio page at chefliferadio.com/indiepop. Because what information out there, it's almost like overkill, because there can be so much information out there that it becomes mind numbing and you don't really know what the analysis, paralysis by analysis. And so to clear it up in a very simple and straightforward way, which you seem to have done very successfully, to me is like a great service, to put it bluntly, because we got a lot of stuff to think about in our industry, a lot of other things to focus on, and to not take the time to really understand what's going on with our healthcare coverage, whether that's traditional healthcare or health shares, I think is incredibly important. And so I just want to say thank you, because I know there's a lot of people out there who feel, again, just like I was, that feeling stuck and trapped in a job that may not necessarily serve me, but I got people who depend on me, so I need to make sure that there's healthcare coverage for them. And I just wanted to throw this comment out and see how it lands with you, but it seems to me that what you're doing provides a great deal of agency for someone in our industry, in that they can chart their own course. Like, they're not bound to a job because this is healthcare that I've gotten on my own, or coverage that I've gotten on my own, which would mean that I might want to take a bigger risk insofar as my career is concerned, because I'm not quite bound to any particular organization or entity.
So one of our core values is we believe in people and their dreams, which means that if you decide at some point you've been in an industry where you've been working for someone as a W-2, but you want to go out on your own, that you can. Be a personal chef that is, it's your own company, whatever it is, that you are not bound, that your benefits are coming from a very specific source, and that's the only way that you can get it. So this is an option for people that are also being laid off right now. I was just reading about more layoffs. Alternative to Cobra, if you're offered Cobra and you can't afford the Cobra, Cobra can be very expensive.
Way expensive.
This is flexible. It's month to month. And so it's, again, it's just another option out there that is not mainstream, but I believe in the next 5 years, it will be more prevalent in the United States as a healthcare option, as more and more people are looking for, I want well care and I just need something in place for those high cost medical needs. These are really, really great plans. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more, like, what are your core value sets for IndiePop?
Gosh. So the number one, I hope I don't miss one, but leave your ego at the door. That it was taken from one of the tech companies that I worked at. And I just absolutely love it, because in my career, I have worked with people older than me and much younger than me. My last manager in tech was 18 years younger than me. And I had to swallow my ego because I had to learn. But what I realized was I learned from him. And if we approach things as the glass half empty, where we can absorb and we can add to the cup, then, you know, we are in a place where we're just listening to each other more than saying, I know best. And there are cases where obviously there are people that are experts that, you know, but it's just a matter of coming to the table with just leave your ego at the door and just listen. We do the right thing in insurance. We're very transparent. If somebody is not a good fit for IndiePop or any of our plans, we let them know, because the last thing I want somebody to do is end up with a surprise bill. And we are really there to help escalate if anything goes off track. It is still healthcare. This isn't magic. This isn't. I don't have the unicorn plan yet. our healthcare system is still far from being anything perfect. But we innovate and constantly improve. I think that there's always, you have to stay agile and things keep changing. Every day something changes and you have to be able to change with that and be able to constantly innovate and improve on what you have.
I have a couple other questions. One of which strikes me is, we have an elder population. We have folks who are towards the end of their careers and maybe aging out of traditional healthcare and be looking at something like Medicare. Does health shares provide any opportunity? Because that's not being cheap either.
No, but that's just it. At the age of 65, you are eligible for Medicare. And so these health shares don't need to be part of that at all, because you're going to have, it's through the government, Part A, B, C, and D. So no, health shares are 18 to 64. You'll age off at 65. I do urge people that are in their 60s, because it gets quite expensive. Even the age over 50 rates start to really go up, that a lot of people that are in that age group can still explore these health shares as a as an option. So it's just, no part with Medicare. Yeah.
And starting and establishing and running IndiePop, what has that meant for you?
Oh my gosh. First of all, anytime you are trying to trailblaze something that's never been done before, there is no path that I'm following in somebody's footsteps. So it's like what I don't know, I really don't know. And I'm learning as I go. But when I hear those words from people like, where were you 5 years ago, Melissa? This plan has been great. Or I had my baby for $1,000. That wouldn't have happened with insurance. Or I was able to go out on my own or not take that COBRA that was $900 a month. Those are reinforcing words, but I have a bigger vision for helping really change and impact our healthcare industry, because this is so important to Americans to be able to have well care instead of the sick care and not break the bank. And I think it's time that we really explore 100-year-old insurance that we've had and say, okay, we don't have to throw it all out, but we got to make it better. Like, we got to be, there's 57 million self-employed people that are slipping through the cracks of our system because we are paying the most for healthcare.
And was that vision always big enough for you to power through your dark moments? Was there a moment where you're like, shit, this is too hard. Like, I should probably give this up. Because as you said, trailblazing in a new area, there have been moments where I felt like barking into the wilderness and never hearing anything back. And so I was just curious if you had gone through a moment where you're like, maybe I could be doing something else.
When you look at it's like David and Goliath, me being David. My little slingshot, because the industry is so big and there's so much money in it, trillions and trillions, that yes, it can be really daunting. But I would say at the core of it is I'm so passionate about this. And I didn't choose. I think that's the other thing is that I couldn't shake it after I went into the marketplace to see that I'm like, this is what's out there right now. This is what we're faced with. I'd have to change my doctors. It's very disruptive and it's expensive. And I couldn't shake it. And I think when you get to that point where you are mad, you can either complain about it or do something about it. And I chose, I'm going to do something about it. And I've stayed with that mission. I've had a few advisors out, some of my IndiePop advisors say, you have not backed down. Like, you have really stayed true to your mission the entire time, like being educating and giving resources and making sure that each offering is up to our highest gold standards. And we just want people, when they come to us, to trust us that we have vetted this to the best of our ability. We put our stamp on it and we say, hey, this can be a really good option for you.
And for those listening who have been intrigued enough to be this until the end, what are one or two steps that they could be taking right now if they're so inspired?
In their own,
become an advocate for their own health.
So if you don't have healthcare, I urge you to really look at something to have for at least major medical, those high cost medical needs. That's where the stem of the bulk of major of debt comes from. I would urge you to really try to find something. And then number two is you can always come to IndiePop and look at FAQs if you'd like to just get a better understanding about things to look out for in your healthcare plan. You could always meet with one of our people to compare something that you might have and say, am I missing something in my plan? And just see if it's something you should stay with or move away from.
Great. And for those listening, you could go to chefliferadio.com/IndiePop for that very special landing page that's got all this information and also links for everything, including booking a call and just asking a question. Be the dummy in the room. Know what you don't know and be willing to find the answers for yourself, because you have to be your own best advocate in this. If not, there are plenty of people who are going to tell you what to think, and you need to find out what you actually think and believe in. Mel, any last words? What are you looking forward to in this year for IndiePop?
Oh, there's so much. really, it's exciting because we're working with more and more providers, doctor offices that really enjoy working with our plans. And so that's exciting. My vision is to see that IndiePop accepted here at provider offices and creating more resources. We added physical therapy. I urge you guys, you're on your feet. You're doing chopping motions. You're doing standing motions. You're doing whatever. I've had motions myself. I'm like sitting constantly, not good. But free assessment, free first visit with virtual PT, and you have nothing to lose there, and see if there's some exercises you can do to help alleviate some of the pain. No one should live with pain.
Well, we got to. Thank you so much for your time, Mel. It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to catch up to you later in the year and find out how everything's running.
Yes, thank you for your time, and please, we are here for you, and we really want to make healthcare, put that care back into it again. You're not just an ID card anymore, but you're a real human needing care.
Mel Blatt, IndiePop, IndiPop, and you can view our resource page at chefliferadio.com/IndiePop. Thank you very much, Mel.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for today's episode of Chef Life Radio. If this resonated with you, do me a favor, subscribe, share, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more culinary leaders like you who are ready to take their kitchens to the next level. Want more? Connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, or join our Chef Life Radio community for exclusive insights and leadership tools. Remember, leadership isn't about perfection, it's about progress. So take what you've learned today and apply it in your kitchen, your team, and your life. Chef Life Radio is more than just a podcast, it's a movement. The focus is no longer just on career survival, but on transforming leadership, creating sustainability, and ensuring chefs can build kitchens that thrive. Remember, the secret ingredient to culinary success isn't just in the food, it's in the leadership. Keep learning, keep growing, and as always, lead with the heart. See you next time.